Watson. My favorite color is blue. I'm left-handed. I love Jesus. And I remember all the way back when King's Cross was a prayer. We were at the dining room table, Pastor Caleb, Paul, and I. And we were at the dining room table praying about what this would be. So it makes my heart glad every time I get to be with you all, whether it was at the Extension Center or whether it's here in our own home. It makes my heart glad to be back with you. I'm kind of like your uncle who lives kind of far away, not really far. I live in Wichita. But I'm super glad to be back with you again to share the word of the Lord and to see what God has done and what he will do. God is so wonderful to us and so great, so grateful to see his faithfulness over and over and over again. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, we're going to begin at verse number 1. We're going to go to Psalm 46. Lord, have your way as we read and apply your word to our lives and be forever changed. Let it be so in Jesus' name. We're going to Psalm 46. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, which just so happens to be the entire psalm. And we're going to share from this psalm, this text of scripture, to give application to our lives today. Psalm 46. It reads like this. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, with the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Verse 6, nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Last verse, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I want to minister to you, share with you from the topic, be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am God. I don't know about you, but there's a lot going on in our world. And I don't just mean the physical globe, but I mean even in our own lives. Life can be lifing and it can be quite noisy. It can be quite cumbersome. It can be quite joyous and amazing. I like to say it like this. It can either be trials, triumph, or blah. So much is happening in our world. And interestingly enough, when the Lord shared this message with me to share with you, the context of the text is there is a people who are always constantly under threat of war from the nations around them. They are a little nation created by God, set apart by him, and they're always in threat of someone invading or something happening or wars or earthquakes or famines or tsunamis. I didn't realize there actually was a tsunami coming in that week of preparation for this message, yet I believe God knows timing and he knows why and what he says to us, and his word is always true. Whether we are in a moment of triumph where everything is working out well and you're doing pretty good, or in your moment of trial or tension where things seem to not be working out so well and you don't understand why the teacher is silent during the test. And it always amazes me how God can allow his word to come into our world and change us for good. What the thing is that the Lord wanted me to impress upon your heart, if you hear nothing else from the message, and I hope you still continue to listen, but if you hear nothing else from the message, is that he desires for us to be still and know that he is God. Settling our soul is a practice that we continually have to work at, because there are so many things that war against the attention and affections of God in our lives. Some of them are good things, things like our families and things like our jobs, our careers, our school. Other things are temptation and fear and the things that try to war against our soul and cause us to miss the moment that God has us in. Yet the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, gives us scriptures that not only apply to that day, but apply to our day. And he calls us to come to a place where we settle our soul from the wars that are raging physically and mentally, from the things that are going on that can cause so much noise in our inner being. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. It might just be me, but you can be in a crowd but feel all alone. You can be in a quiet place, but it still be noisy. The Lord desires for our soul to be settled, not in our own strength, but in the fact that he is, as we see in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Look at this, an ever-present help in trouble. He's not past, he's not future, he is the I am. He is ever-present. He is always, I like to call it like this, he's the eternally existent one. He never was and he never will be. He always is. And whatever we need him to be, he is that. He is our savior. He is our help. He is our refuge. And look at this, he is our strength. So hate to bust your bubble. Your strength is limited, but his strength is limitless. And he calls us to not rely on our ability. One of the things, and I hope this doesn't disqualify you from listening, one of the things I was praying to the Lord about on my way here, and I had plenty of time in the drive to pray, and one of the things I said, Lord, help me not to believe my own hype. Help me not to rely on myself more than I rely on you. That is called pride, self-reliance. But it says here not that we are our own refuge, we aren't our safe place, but the Lord is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. That's good news, because whenever we find trouble, we know that God already is, and he is present with us. He is not high in the sky stroking his beard. No, he is present. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us in every moment, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Why won't we fear? Because God is present. Not because we have all the answers. Trust me, I don't. Not because everything is always good. Not because we always feel good. But because God is faithful, we don't have to fear. Because of his love for us, his care for us, we don't have to fear. Though the earth give way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam with mountains, quake their surging. All of this is absolutely terrifying if we didn't know the God who made the winds and waves. And the same God who made the winds and waves is the same God who can say, peace, be still. It is a peace that we see here in verse 4 of Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Lord dwells. And I love that the city of God is a place. It is Zion, it is Jerusalem, and it is a people. That we are his dwelling place. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the places that God has always desired and designed to dwell. And that when he dwells within us, we have a river that flows that gives us sustenance and success. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and within that city, and she will not fall. It doesn't matter what is without her, because God is within her, she won't fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The same voice that spoke into nothing and created everything is the same voice that can speak into our lives and recreate it all. This is good news, beloved, because this is news that we need to hear every day. But especially on days when things seem too much for us. I love how it says it back in verse 4, who is the Most High God? So even if it's higher than me, even if it's deeper than me, even if it's bigger than me, it's not bigger than my God. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, that I don't find my strength or my sustenance in myself. I find it in Jesus. This is good news because he is the one that settles our soul. And he asks us to be with him. May we be with Yahweh. So there's two parts. It's be still and know that I am God. May we, beloved, if you don't know him, I would love for you to get to know the Jesus that we talk about, the one who sticks closer than a brother, the one who saves and rescues and redeems and keeps us. The desire of God's heart, we saw it in the Garden of Eden and we see it in the cross of Christ, is for relationship with us. He does not just want us to give him praise and adulation from afar. He desires, like he did with Adam before Adam went his own way, to walk with us. It is amazing that the God who created us desires relationship with us. It says, verse 7 here, that the Lord God is with us. Imagine the fact that God created us, placed us in a beautiful, abundant place. We rebelled. He came to get us. He is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Beloved, it is vitally important that we don't forget. It is important that we remember what he has done and who he is. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth, verse 9, he makes wars cease. Beloved, we have been called to a place of rest and reliance. We've been called to rest on the promise of who God is, his character, his nature. And we've called to rely on his word because it is a sure foundation. Verse 9 says, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. He commands us in verse number 10. He says, be still. Settle your soul. We run around so often trying to accomplish things that aren't eternally significant. And in this moment, beloved, he is calling us to rest in him as our refuge, as our strength. For us to be still and know him. It's that kind of knowing that produces fruit in our lives. Like Jesus says in John, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you don't abide in me, you won't bear fruit. But if you abide in me, you will bear fruit that remains. Beloved, the Lord is calling for us to be still. Even when the nations rage, even when things are topsy-turvy, even when it is louder than we can handle, we be still and rest in him, and we know that he is God. How do we rest in God in times of turmoil? You're not going to like it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We relinquish control. I told you, it's not easy. But it's worth it, and it's necessary. I want to say this. We aren't in control anyway. And so, when God is saying, relinquish control, he's saying, let me be God. And that's good news, because he's good. He's faithful. He's awesome. He's amazing. He is the one who was and is and is to come. He is the great I am, right? And so when I relinquish control, I can rest in him. I don't have to worry, because worry doesn't get you anything but stress and wrinkles and headaches. There's nothing good that comes from worry. That's why he says in Matthew, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's go. There's enough going on tomorrow. Don't worry about it. And so when we relinquish control, we begin to rest in the one who is higher than we are. Second thing, practically, how do I be still? So glad you asked the question. Second thing he says to us is, he says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for us. So we relinquish control and we release our cares to him. Are you please, you don't have to raise your hand, but are you carrying something that is too big for you, too heavy for you? It keeps you up at night because you're worried. It keeps you from mingling because you're wondering about this thing. If it's an it that troubles you, he's like, I want you to cast it. It's kind of like when you go fishing, which I did Friday, didn't catch anything. But it's kind of like when you go fishing and you cast a net or you cast your reel. He's like, cast your cares on me. He's basically saying, throw your stuff at my feet, because I'm the one that can handle it better than you can. He's like, cast your cares on me. Why? Because I care for you. And because I care for you, I want you to be able to rest in him. So we relinquish control, we release our cares, and then we stop comparing. Because your journey is not my journey, and my journey is not your journey, and everybody on Instagram is filtered. It looks amazing. Oh, gosh, their time with Jesus is just so amazing. The lighting is so, yeah, it's filtered. It's made to look good. But in the everyday stuff of life, God is like, I've not called you to look to the left or to the right, but up. We look to the hills for where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. So, beloved, you may have asked the question, okay, Jamal, you said rest in him. How do I do that? You relinquish control, you release your cares, and you quit comparing. You're like, God, I am not going to base my race upon someone else's stride. I'm going to let and be in community, share, be built up, be challenged by one another. We're not called to do this thing alone, but we're also not called to kill our joy based on our compares. And so the Lord says, be still. And he also says another thing. He says, and know that I am God. How can I continue to develop my relationship with Jesus? Well, that's a great question. And the great answer is through prayer and study of his word. That I know God and his character enough to trust him, to rest in him based on what he's already done. The fact that he created everything, that he redeems us who believe in him. And he says, without faith, it's impossible to please me, because you have to believe that I exist. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So I got to keep feeding my faith with his word, which is a sure foundation. So it doesn't matter whether things are good or whether things are bad, I can rest secure in the truth of who God is and how he sees me. And so I can rest in him and I can rely on him who is God. Beloved, we are called to rest in and rely on the I am God. That he is not a God who is stale or stagnant. He is not a God who's coming eventually. He is and always is. Same God who was back then and will be in the future is the same God who calls us to be still and to know him, to continue to journey with him. I love how it repeats in the scripture this idea of the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That he is my designer and my defender, and I will be still I will relinquish control, and then when I take it back up again, I'll relinquish it again. I'll cast my cares, and then when I start caring too much, again, this is not saying don't care about anything. This is saying don't worry about anything. I think there's a scripture that says, you know, pray about everything, worry about nothing. That's the Jamal revamp, but it is the principle of everything I take to the Lord in prayer. Whether it's my day or my future, I know that he cares for us. And then I rely on his word. I keep feeding my mind, renewing my mind from expired thinking. And I keep trusting in the one who is eternally trustworthy. I will rest in and rely on I am God. And by that I may be still and know that he is God. Father, I pray in this little lesson of ours that you would give us the grace to be still. May we trust you even when we can't trace you. May we know you as our God and our keeper, the one who loves us and who calls us his own. May we remember who we're talking to. May we rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And may as we remember who you are and who we are in you, may we rest in and rely on you. And in that, be still and know that you are God. May we be like Prophet Elijah, who even in a moment of depression was in a cave and he didn't get distracted by the whirlwind, the earthquake, the firestorm, but his soul was quiet enough to hear the still small voice of the one who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. May you who is always with us, may we know you and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.